Hello and welcome to this week's episode of 321 Go Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scanlon. We are joined today by Mr. Jason Rule. He is the co-founder of Driven Nutrition. Jason has been an entrepreneur for over 20 years now, and we outline that entire journey, and Jason shares with us some of the things that he has learned along the way. What I love about Jason's story is that Jason has sold a company, he started a company, he has learned from those mistakes, he's shifted from retail to online sales, and now he is a wholesale provider of supplements to affiliates. And so through having so many different business models, Jason has really developed this keen ability to pivot with the marketplace. I think this is an important lesson for us as affiliate owners to learn as well, because as our marketplace matures, as we potentially reach a saturation point with new affiliates in any given geographic area, and we see competition for sort of the boutique fitness space increasing, we also have to identify ways that we can pivot our business model or communicate the unique value that we provide. And that's a big takeaway that I had with this discussion that I had with Jason. If you're interested in checking out any of the programs that Jason has available, drivennutrition.com, you can check it out there. Reach out. As Jason says, he still onboards every new gym that he brings under the Driven Nutrition wing, which I think is a very interesting point and one that we would be wise to pay heed to. You know, you don't want more clients. You don't want to have more people buying your product. You want the right people buying your product. I would prefer to have less members and have those fewer members refer more people to my business, take advantage of additional services like personal training. And I would rather those people be retained for the long term than to have people just beating down my door to get in. So oftentimes, we think the solution to a problem is more members, when in all actuality, the problem that we have is less profit. And so if we identify our problem appropriately, there are many, many solutions to that problem. But it's up to us to really get down to the heart of that problem and then identify some ways that we can figure some things out. So, again, a great episode. A big thank you to Jason for taking the time out to do this episode. As a reminder, listeners, InBody USA is our partner for today's episode. They have an exclusive offer on their body composition scanning machines for our listeners only. There is a link in the show notes if you want to check out the offer that InBody USA has for our listeners. So go there, you can fill out a form, they'll get right back to you, and you can learn more. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the show. Take 5 seconds, throw us a review on iTunes. I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. All right. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode of 321 Go Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scanlon, joined by the co-founder of Driven Nutrition, Jason Rule. Jason is calling in from Springfield, Missouri, kind of my old stomping grounds. Jason, welcome to the show.
Matt, thanks for having me, man.
Cool. Well, as we were talking off air before I started recording, Jason, you had said that you were a serial entrepreneur. That's something that we hear from a lot of the guests that we've had on the show. So I kind of want to start there. What is your background? You'd mentioned you've been at it as an entrepreneur for about the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. What does that journey look like up to this point?
Well, I guess going back to the beginning, I had a web development consulting firm that I sold, and then when I sold that to the technology company who purchased it, I had to work for them for a year and stay on as consulting and also sales, so we could get the old customers onboarded as well as their staff. Once I fulfilled that, I went and bought a retail supplement store, and then ended up buying one other one and grew that for a series of 7 or 8 years before I sold the last one. So a lot of my background recently over the last 12 years has been around supplements, around not only retail but also manufacture and distribution and wholesale of dietary supplements.
What caused that? I mean, that's a pretty drastic turn from tech and sales to retail and supplements. What drew you into that realm?
It's an interesting question. So they actually are, technology and supplements are similar in the fact that they're a constant learning process. Mm-hmm. So I guess that was one thing that drew me. The other one was I was kind of a meathead. So I always used to go into the GNC, and I was shocked at how little those guys knew. You know, and it seemed as though, and once I got into the industry, it cemented the fact that, you know, a lot of the things getting sold were things that just were advertised heavily on you know, not bodybuilding.com at the time, but the muscle magazines. So as I started reading more and diving more into it and getting into the science and the actual studies of the products, you know, there's a lot of good products out there, but, you know, finding somebody who knew what they were talking about was hard. So once I fulfilled that full year, a friend of mine owned the GNC there in town, and I asked him if he'd be interested in selling it. He was, so I bought it and continued that learning process into what works, what doesn't, who should buy what. And at the time, you know, I had a lot of nephews that were playing football, baseball, and a lot of their friends, and I made it my mission to know as much as I could, where when they came in or when they had a question, I was giving them the best possible advice, and then rolled that over into my staff that, you know, hey, if anybody comes in here and you give them the wrong advice, or you tell them that they should be taking something that we know they shouldn't be taking, you won't be working here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because I want everybody to be treated as though you're talking to one of my nephews. That melded well into where we are now with Driven Nutrition, of an owner being able to talk to their members as well as a coach being able to talk to their members with the I feel comfortable recommending this to you because the diligence has been made.
You brought up a really interesting point, and I want to sit here for a little bit, Jason, and so maybe you can speak to this in a broad sense or from your personal experience. You had said that in the supplement space, the products that were being sold were oftentimes not necessarily the highest quality products, I guess, or the best products, but the ones that were sort of marketed the best. And I think a lot of the fitness entrepreneurs listening to this show right now can relate with the fact that maybe they have exceptional coaching, or their programming happens to be really good, or their staff are really well developed, but there is maybe a disconnect in the public's mind because, hey, maybe what we do is not marketed as well or as sexy as some of the more hip, I guess, or trendy sort of workout places. So how did you combat that in the marketplace?
With knowledge, learning as mm-hmm. much as I could, and maintaining the trust that I had with the people that I worked with. It is a noisy crowd out there, but the interesting thing is that the conflict is the same whether you're running a CrossFit gym or offering supplements. You know, if you feel that you have the best product, you have the best training program, you can market it all you want, but really it comes down to is, do you have the chops? Are you pulling it off? Are you doing the work? And what ends up happening is your customers end up bragging for you. And I believe and at least this is the ethos that we've adopted here at Driven, is that when we deliver that and we show up and we do that work for not only for the athlete taking our products, but for the coaches that are promoting it, and the businesses that have relied on us for their business retail, then by default, you're going to be successful. If you do a good enough job, you don't have to, I don't believe you have to advertise to the extent that a lot of those companies do. So your money can be spent in increasing your product awareness, and your product development, as well as your offerings. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how we get around not having to advertise. And, you know, we're up to 50 some SKUs now. So we're able to invest in back into the products as opposed to just over marketing one or two products. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a similar parallel with CrossFit gyms. If you guys have a good enough product and you ask your members to help you promote it, you don't have to advertise it in the traditional sense.
Jason, I want to go back to your story here. You said so you'd owned two retail supplement stores, and you kind of shared with us how you ended up purchasing that first one. When did things begin to transition? When did you take notice that there may be an opportunity in actually like the manufacturing of your own product line?
Well, this was 12 years ago with the first product line. There was a supplement company that was built inside of the franchise community, and they made very good products. I'm not going to say their name just because I don't want to promote for them. They made really good products, really high end, and they started getting very big. And then about two and a half years into it, they started changing their formulas. And when they did that, their sales rep called me up, said, "Hey, you know, we're changing this, and this is the better. This is why it's better." And I knew, you know, from the years that I had been studying products and everything else, learning as much as I could, I just told the guy flat out, "No, you're not making a better product. You're making a cheaper product, and you're raising my wholesale cost $1.50. You won't be carried in my store anymore." So it was at that point that I realized that if we start with the product, the ingredient, which is how this company built itself, building a good quality product that can be sold exclusively in a specific market. That's how we started with one. And then, it was 7 years ago, we were at our first CrossFit gym or CrossFit competition. And I was blown away by the support of the members, of the people cheering each other on. It reminded me of college track again, everybody cheering each other on and high-fiving. You know, even and more so for the people in last. It was a really amazing things to see, and everybody was using these weird words like WOD and what do you take pre WOD, what do you take post WOD, and it had its own little language. And through that, we started working with a few gyms, and I was blown away by the care and concern. It was very similar as far as the way members were treated in the gyms versus how I used to treat my customers in my retail stores. But one thing I kept hearing time and time again from the owners that scared me was, you know, "I don't care if I make a profit. I just want a really good product off of my members." And I remember telling them, now keep in mind, this was 7 years ago. I remember telling them, like, "Look, if you just dropped $40,000 to buy a rig, but you're not trying to make a profit, you just bought yourself a hobby." Mm. And it's someday somebody's going to come along and either run a business as a business and it's going to hurt you, or you're going to need to figure out how to make a profit and be okay with that. So that's kind of how we transitioned into creating Driven, of working with those gyms that we did and said, okay, if we were to start from scratch and open, start a supplement company that was exclusive to the affiliates, what would you need? What products? And that's how we delved into to the Driven Way, and then the amino acids and one product after another. Mm-hmm.
So as you began to make this transition from the retail space to now owning your own supplement company, I can't imagine that road was super smooth. I'm sure that there were hiccups along the way. Anything that surprised you, caught you off guard, anything of note as you made that transition that was maybe unexpected?
Well, the most unexpected was the birth of our fourth son, Lakin. And I say that we had 9 months to prepare, obviously. As we were building Driven Out, as I was building the website, and the overall putting the wheels on the ground, 9 days into his life, he had to be life flighted out to Denver for emergency heart surgery. Mm. So we had that. So beyond all the entrepreneur stuff, as you can imagine,
yeah.
And then for the first year of his life, he's four now. In the first year of his life, he had two additional open heart surgeries, two in Denver and one in Ann Arbor, University of Michigan. So I say literally Driven was built in a surgical ICU room because we spent, all in all, almost 3 months of that first year in surgical ICUs during his first two surgeries, and then again in his third and out in University of Michigan. So supplement and business aside, that was the biggest surprise and the biggest hurdle that we had to overcome, was staying focused and working on what can be worked on during those times.
Gosh, Jason, that sounds brutal. So what I'm thinking through right now, you know, in the early stages of every business, there's a ton of energy, right? You know, I think entrepreneurs tend to, when they have this problem to be solved, there's an incredible amount of energy on the front mm-hmm. end of that. What did this experience with your family and with your son, like, how did that change things for you? I mean, obviously there's the very real time constraint. You're pulled away, you know, right as you're forming this company, but I think in a broader sense, how did that impact you as an individual, as a family, and how has that changed the way you operate things?
There's a lot of answers in those questions. A big one, before Lakin was born, I'd read a couple books. One was called The One Thing. Another was Your Mind at Work, and it talked about the instilling of daily habits, the power of focusing on a singularity of a project. And really, those books were instrumental to get through that time because, like you said, so when you're first getting started, you have a massive amount of energy. You know, you're blowing out of the gates. Holy crap, I'm gonna change the world with this thing. Nobody has ever seen anything like this. You're excited and everything else, and then something happens. Now, transition that with normal. The problem is that energy can kind of blow off into space, and you can be like, get distracted, and then the monotony of day in and day out gets to you after a while, and then you don't even remember what it was you were so excited about. So for me, I do feel that it was a focusing opportunity for us to say, okay, this is what do I, because sometimes of all of the things going on, you would have 10 minutes to work. I onboarded some affiliates still to this day. They don't know that I was sitting in a hospital room and feet away from Lake and hooked up to machines. It was just what had to be done. But the need to focus and do the most important thing and get that off the list. What is the highest priority right now of work? So when I do have 5 minutes, when I do have 10 minutes, what is that one thing that I have to focus on? So now, granted, if I hadn't been sitting there and we would have had a normal, healthy, 3 month old, would I have been more distracted? Would I have been playing with him a lot more than I would have? Would I have not considered the finite aspect of life in itself and say, I need to get shit done? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think in there, there's a lot of good nuggets in there, Jason. I think obviously understanding what is important, not only in sort of what drives you, what's your purpose, what's your why. That's something we hear about all the time. But on a real practical level, from a productivity standpoint, you know, time is a zero-sum game. And I think that it's important for business owners, entrepreneurs to realize, hey, if you got one thing done, what's the one thing that will move the needle? Begin to prioritize those tasks. Oftentimes, you know, I think this is something for you. You had been an entrepreneur for a long time at this point, and you had learned this. But I think for some of our listeners that are maybe new to entrepreneurship, realizing that there's sort of limitless possibilities with how you spend your time. And really, you could do any number of things. There's nobody managing your time anymore if you're not working for someone, right? So it's kind of up to you to create your own priorities. So I do like that idea of, you know, I've got 10 minutes. What is one thing that's going to move the needle the most? I think it's a good exercise for everybody to practice there. So
yeah, the one thing book teaches, like, it basically says, what's the one thing that I need to do today? And that goes so far as to say, you don't have permission to go work on number two because number one isn't done. So it's not just, well, okay, number one can get done, so I'll go do two and three, but accepting the mindset of, you don't have permission to go do the rest until that one thing is done. So it's a great book. I highly recommend it.
What book is that? I want to be sure I put a link in there.
The One Thing?
The One Thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to link to that. This is also a similar idea. I can't – at the time this airs, I don't know if this episode has aired or not yet, but either it just released or there's one coming up with – Jason Kalipa talks about this very same idea. He calls it the AMRAP mentality, that basically, you know, you do let's say you're doing like unpartitioned Murph basically, and, you know, you run your mile, you don't start on that next thing until that mile is done. You know, I think a lot of CrossFit workouts are structured this way, chippers especially. If you've got a big chunk of work to do, you finish that work prior to moving on to the next thing. The carryover to productivity, I think, is pretty incredible. So, all right, Jason, I want to kind of move on a little bit as we talk about. So you have Driven up and running, and this thing is so you start kind of one product at a time. Was there strategy behind kind of like releasing one thing at a time? And I think you said you're up to what, 60 or 80 SKUs now?
No, 50, 55.
Okay. All right. So
50. No, that's just supplements. You grab in, you go into like apparel and stuff like that. We're probably in the 80s.
Okay. Gotcha. So why come out with one product at a time? Why not release it just full bore, everything you need?
The best story I can come up with is what. We started with protein, of course, the basics, the amino acids and the creatine. So we had a couple. But when you first open a restaurant, I'm always blown away by the number of people that open a restaurant and then advertise like crazy, and then they suck. And, you know, I tell people, like, I want to suck for as few people as I possibly can. So the website was still getting built out. You know, we're still going through the process of forming our onboarding process because we're taking – we're working with a lot of, you know, military, past military, firefighters, law enforcement, and trying to implement a process that allows them to onboard to where they can get comfortable. Because mind you, at the time, we've progressed a long way from there, but at the time, we had to get people comfortable with making a profit. So getting people that, like, getting them comfortable with telling their members, like, guys, this is how we're going to grow. This is how we're going to either build new facilities, grow into new equipment, go to get our coaches to new trainings, and being comfortable with that. Trying to focus as tightly as possible, not only on the number of products, because every one is a new wheel. Right now we're out of chocolate, out of 52 products, but I get probably 5 or 6 text messages a day. Hey, when are you getting chocolate in? So, limiting those those concerns, those touch points, by availability of product was key, because that allowed us to focus on our real business, which was helping affiliates learn more about the products as well as the business process to introduce and establish a solid business option inside their gym in retail.
So as a side note, an anecdote to what you just said, you want to suck for as little people as possible. One probably the most often asked question that I get from people is, how do I start a podcast, or how do I grow a podcast audience? And the answer is really simple. I think this kind of carries over into business as well, is, hey, just start doing it. By the time you're good enough for anyone to listen to it, you will have gotten the reps in, because you're going to suck for a year. And that's cool. Suck for a year, and then, you know, year two, then people will maybe start paying attention, and you'll be worth paying attention to.
Right.
So,
right.
So as you begin to scale, one thing we hear all the time is, all right, so for a CrossFit affiliate, for example, you know, like the first 50 people that train at your gym are like your closest friends. They probably don't need an on-ramp. They're probably super fit people to begin with, and you just kind of open and you train those people. The first hurdle in scaling is basically from 50 clients to 150 is kind of the first hurdle that we see CrossFit affiliates have. And then sort of the next hurdle is where you bust through that 150 client mark. Have you seen anything, you know, when it comes to scaling driven, were there any benchmarks or hurdles that you saw, and how did you overcome those scaling hurdles?
Oh yeah, man. So there was, and we still deal with them. We're constantly trying to improve. You know, we have a lot of automated processes now. You know, 2 years ago, I was sitting down with our partners and said, I don't want to double. I don't want to double the number of affiliates that we have right now. Because like with your analogy, 50 to 100 members, you can go to those members and say, guys, please go give this card and give two of these cards out to every single person. You see, just get two of them out, and then boom, you're at 250 members, or you've got people doing potential onboard. But we didn't have those automated processes in place. So what I did, back to your podcast story, I started recording calls. So as I started onboarding new affiliates, which was taking anywhere between an hour and a half and 2 hours, which I told you before we started calling, that's really how I spend my day, is talking with either new affiliate owners that are wanting to get started, or affiliate owners that have been with us for 3 or 4 years and wanting to take it up a notch in terms of retail. So what I started doing was recording those calls and turning them into podcasts, as well as documented. I had some of them transcribed. One of the conversations I had transcribed was turned out to be 6 pages, and that's one of the tools that I use now to onboard new affiliates. So what was taking an hour and a half at 2 hours, now it takes about 20 to 30 minutes once we get to know each other and we find out if we're going to be a good fit. Then we can start automating, and I have emails that kind of take people through an ascension process of, I don't know anything about supplements. I don't know anything about retail. What's the first thing I need to know? What's the second thing I need to know? And then taking them through that ascension ladder of how to go from knowing nothing and not being comfortable with retail, on knowing how to promote BCAAs and what's the difference between pre-WOD and disrupt. So as well as the next step for there was how do we implement that for the coaches? Right? So you're an owner. You were always the point of contact before. Once we created that point of contact also for the coaches and duplicated that out, that took us from the standpoint of linear growth and linear to getting our message out there to geometric. So finding those levers of the one thing, what's the one thing I could do right now that can have a strong impact, or will have the strongest impact that will make everything else basically unnecessary, was that automation of going from set number of affiliates to doubling, which we've done now for the last 2 years. We've more than doubled, I guess, over the last 12 months. So yeah, finding the automation and finding a way to duplicate what you do or what you say over and over again has been very beneficial for us.
Jason, I love conversations that I have with people like this where you're essentially telling us, okay, here's how you scale a supplement company. Here's some issues that we had, and here's where we landed on this. And it ends up being like, this is exactly how you scale any business, including, you know, whatever kind of gym you own listening to this right now. It is basically duplicating the things that you do. But Jason, here's the hard part, because basically what you had to do is, all right, I'm onboarding this gym. I'm on the phone with them for an hour or two. Not only am I going to do that work, because that work needs to be done today, but I'm also going to turn around and I'm going to record it. I'm going to have it transcribed. I'm going to create a system and automation around it. So, but what you're doing is you're basically investing your time up front. You doubled the amount of time that it took to complete this thing, right? So you basically said, all right, I'm onboarding somebody, but I'm going to double the amount of time I took doing it so that I can create a process around it. And then years down the road, even though I had to double up that hour, I'm going to save hundreds of hours down the road by duplicating this process. So like something that whenever I do business coaching with a affiliate or anybody that owns a gym, I tell them, hey, listen, this is going to be a really crappy year for you, but for the next year, when you clean your bathroom, I want you to then turn around and have a Word document open on your desktop at all times, and right. I want you to document that entire process, double the time that it took you.
More than be okay with 10 times the time that it takes you.
Hell yeah, because you're going to save 1,000 times what it took you
down
the road.
The other thing that I find that people miss with that, like they can be okay, I'll go to it, but being okay with not growing during that time, like understand that this is part of the process. Me saying, I don't want to double. I don't want to go and ask our affiliates, hey, Matt, we've done a great job there for you at your gym. Your members are loving the products. Your coaches are loving the products. Can you share my information with two other gym owners? Mm. I didn't want that. We intentionally, to this day, we haven't asked for referrals from one affiliate to the next. We're getting very close to that because I believe that we're at the point where now we can start plugging affiliates in mass and do a good job for them. But being okay with that slow burn, I love the phrase less but better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do less but do a lot better job with the stuff you do.
I like that.
And then being okay with that slow growth, knowing that you're planting those seeds, you're becoming a farmer instead of a hunter.
Mm. There's something else in there that you said, Jason. You're talking about, I've heard you say the term onboard, you know, like onboarding mm-hmm. new affiliates. And I'll say that's not something, as you can imagine, us as affiliate owners have been on the receiving end of just countless offers for different retail products. This is literally the first time, and I'm talking hundreds of conversations, this is the first time I've heard the term like onboarding as it relates to carrying a supplement in an affiliate. This is also the first time I've ever heard somebody say, I wrote it down because it really stuck with me, you asking, hey, will this be a good fit? Will this relationship be a good fit? Which goes back to this idea that you mentioned of you're more interested in higher quality, less quantity,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a lesson that we as affiliate owners, we really need to take that lesson away. Everybody else in fitness, right, is after more quantity. Really, you're never going to be able to compete with the quantity that a Planet Fitness can do. But I'll tell you one thing that Planet Fitness is not doing is onboarding new people into fitness. They're not, you know, they're not saying, hey, are we a good fit? You know, will you see maximum results in here? So can you speak to that a little bit more? Like, how do you, you know, obviously you're that's a great point of differentiation is we're going to be more selective. We're going to really focus on this education and relationships. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah, for sure, man. So that goes back to marketing and advertising. Where are we better off spending our time and investing? Are we better off investing in the foundation of the people who are building our brand, the retailers, the affiliate owners, the people who have a vested interest in our brand being successful there at our box? Or should we go out on and advertise all over every magazine with models who don't intake our product, who don't look like they CrossFit? You know, that's really where it was when we started. So we just focused on who's our best customer. I paint this story here. Like if a thoroughbred walks through your gym doors and you know just by looking, I'm like, holy crap, this person has the genetics. They can do it all. And they say, I want to go to the games in 2 years. Great. So here's the diet. Here's the workout. I can pull this off for you. They still have to do the work. So you go and you put all of that time and investment in this thoroughbred of getting them to the games or getting them to be the apex athlete. Would that time have been better spent? Because you don't know at the time whether or not they're going to work out. So asking them, are you going to do the work? And retail is the same approach. A business opportunity is the same approach. I can teach you how to talk to members about these products. I can teach the coaches how to talk to members about the products. I can plug your coaches into the system. But in the end, you still have to do the work. You have to post it up on social media. You have to get uncomfortable a little bit. And those gyms those owners that buy in are the ones that reap the benefits from a business standpoint, and they see the opportunities that have been missed over the last few years. And to your point, like, have you ever gotten an email from Driven Nutrition?
Nope.
Okay. Right. So yeah. Like, right. So tell me, you've probably gotten four in the last hour since we've been talking. How many of those will you actually open?
None. Yeah, likely none.
Right. Right. So what a crappy waste of time for those guys. Why don't they go out and figure out how to build some value and bring something back to the people who are building their brands instead of just trying to hound you and pound you, every single owner, hey, sell my crap.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, I was kind of mentioning to you before we started recording, Jason, I was just in Philly with 40 other affiliate owners and heard that same thing, and through mutual friends that are affiliate owners, just off the cuff, you know, not even, hey, I'm telling you this because I get some kind of referral deal. It was like, I've had a great experience with this company, highly recommend them. You know, I think that when it comes to, same thing. When it comes
now,
to, go ahead.
Are they recommending Driven, or are you just in general?
No, I'm
just
saying
they're companies in general.
They're recommending Driven Nutrition. I mean, this podcast is happening.
Okay. Right on.
This podcast is happening because a gym owner who carries your product and thinks you're a great guy is, hey, get him on the show. You know what I mean? And
right.
And like that carries so much weight with it. Something off the cuff, something informal, something, hey, great product, great guys, check them out. Like that goes a long way.
Right.
And
that means, man, that means a lot to hear that. Thank you.
Oh, for sure.
That.
For sure. And I think that if we're to, again, I talked to all these different business owners on this show, and the carryover is always so clear. Because, you know, you think about, as you were saying, you know, it's tempting to get a fitness model who doesn't use your product. It's tempting to have clickbait. It's tempting to do all of these things that unfortunately work in the short term. And for us, I think as affiliate owners, we are always wanting to kind of jump on to the next thing, the next challenge, the next membership drive, the next sort of shiny object. But at the end of the day, it is somebody goes into their office, they've lost 50 pounds in your gym, and they say, these guys are awesome, I trust them, I'm comfortable in the gym, they make me feel great, and I have the results. You really can't beat that, right?
No. And then you extrapolate that out from a time standpoint to the person that you spent one-on-one talking about their life, you know, the habits that they've established so far, what's been right, what's been wrong, versus the amount of time that you would spend with that potential thoroughbred, who you're going to, you know, you're going to spend the extra time. You know, we don't, it's easy to get distracted from the focus, because the relationship and the value that you bring to everyday members. And for us, it's, you know, we don't chase the big gyms. Mm. We don't chase the big athletes. You know, if they're customers, we look into working with them. And, you know, the time, it does take a little bit more time to sit down and talk with that one member one-on-one, but the value that you're able to bring to their life is so much higher than that potential thoroughbred, that games athlete, because that one person who's a normal person is going to go out to the other, to their friends and family, and be like, this guy changed my life. Mm. And from our standpoint, from a business standpoint, we take that same approach of working with gyms that are telling me, hey, you know, this kept my gym open. We're able to pay rent now. And that's what it's about. And that's why our structure is really based around, you know, I feel if we do a good enough job with the affiliates that we work with, we don't need to advertise.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Jason, let's kind of wrap up this. I want to kind of hear, we've got your history. We've kind of talked about your philosophy and everything. I want to hear, like, what is next? What have you got in the hopper right now? What is the next iteration of Driven? How will you continue to keep your edge, to push things forward? Any plans coming up?
No big plans. A lot of it, I believe, is I think that our compass was pointed north 4 years ago, and we've been following that path. I'm a little bit embarrassed when you ask that, because what's the next iteration? I feel like that we're just starting to unfold the first layer of what we're able to do in terms of building value for the affiliate community. And as we're exposed to a new person, I can't imagine the next person that we're exposed to that's able to introduce us either to somebody who can be very influential in the space and help us spread that word, because we are ready to grow. Even though we've been growing at a great pace, now it's time to start looking at geometric growth. And that comes from, you know, gracious guys like you that hear, people talking about it. You know, I've never seen a business like this before. Mm-hmm. You need to look into what they're doing. And I guess continuing to be weird and being okay with being a little bit of an alien in the industry. I had a conversation last year and someone was talking about it, like weird is good, right? Being an alien is good, because as a species, as humans, we're wired to see something move fast. If somebody moves really fast, we notice it out at the corner of our eye. If we see something that doesn't fit in, we're wired to see weird. Mm-hmm. And I think as I'm talking here, that's probably the iteration that's unfolding now, is getting comfortable with being just weird. you know, it, a lot of times the companies like ours are, advertising. You know, they're popping champagne bottles and showing their lavish lifestyle. I've got four kids, and I go home to my wife every night, and I would just as soon sit down and watch the next episode of Stranger Things than go out and then do anything crazy. So I think that just embracing being okay with who we are, and then doing a better job of telling our story, I think that that's the next iteration from where we are in terms of the support, in terms of the products. I believe we're right where we need to be.
Yeah.
Until tomorrow, who knows what may pop up. And because so many of the ways that we improve are coming from the affiliate owners themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey Jason, if you did this, this would help me a lot with my members. Oh crap, okay, let's do it. And then we assimilate that across all of our affiliates.
I dig that. And Jason, I think that's something that resonates with. It's an interesting idea, right? Like this idea of like transparency and honesty. And so there's definitely the people that have come into the CrossFit affiliate space not really knowing that history of the affiliates, where basically for the first time, I mean, you know, this is going way back, but I mean, you've been around fitness long enough to know that, you know, the idea of a trainer's program, you know what I mean? Like the reps and sets and volume was like this big secret thing, you know, like you gotta pay me if you want this program or you gotta do personal training with me if you get the secret program. And CrossFit sort of came online and they're like, we will just put this on the internet for free every single day. And oh yeah, we'll give you these free PDFs on how to do it all. We'll basically give away all of the quote unquote secrets. So I think that as affiliate owners, that is something sort of that anti-fitness, right? The anti-fitness industry is something that has resonated with us for a long time. And it's kind of, I hear you saying that same thing, kind of being almost the anti-supplement or the alien, you know, to borrow from your language. I dig that a lot, man. So, Jason, wrap up. Gym owners listening to this are like, man, I dig this guy's story. This resonates with me a lot. What does it look like to become a Driven affiliate? How can we learn more? Where can we, where can we find you?
Right on. So the first step, going to drivennutrition.com. Up in the top right-hand corner, there's going to be a link that says Become a Driven Affiliate. When you fill that out, the very next page is going to be a video of me. I apologize. It's going to be a video of me just telling you the next step is to schedule a call. So once you schedule that call, we hop on a conversation. By then, I will have vetted you. I will have checked to see, one, you are the affiliate owner. You're not somebody, you're not a coach getting ready to open across the street and you haven't affiliated yet. You're not a member trying to figure out, you know, hey, can I order this product at wholesale, that type of thing. So once you're vetted, the call is approved. It adds it to your calendar as well as mine. And then we just have a conversation. Are we a good fit? What are you trying to do? What have you done in the past that's worked? What are the things that haven't worked? And I always warn everybody, so every affiliate that's onboarded over the last 2 years is going to roll their eyes. They're going to giggle because I always tell this story. Like, I'll send shots over the bow. Like, I'm really blunt and I'm really upfront with people. So, and I take it like this. So, Matt, if I came to your gym right now and I was working out, if you saw a couple things in my squat that needed to be fixed, I would feel you would be doing me a disservice to not come over and say, look, Jason, here's a couple things that you can work on with mobility that's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm not shy about it. If I hear something that I don't think is going to benefit the affiliate, I'm going to tell them. And then I'm just going to tell them with the experiences that I've had, this is how I would diagnose that, or this is how I would approach that angle, whether it's a coach, whether it's past offerings, or, you know, I've got some people say, you know, I've got four bags of this product. I can't wait to bring your stuff in. I'm going to discount it and get it out the door. And I'm always raising my hands like, no, 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 do not do that. 'Cause you're peeing in your pool. You're building, you're building customers for a brand you don't have any interest in maintaining a relationship with, put it out on eBay, get 60 cents on the dollar, and move on to the next brand that you're choosing to focus on. So a tidbit of advice, whether you bring us in or anything else, don't discount a product to clear your shelves, to clear the cash. Get it out of your market.
I like it. That's good. And actually, that's a great carryover to just about anything that you, listener, are selling in your gym. Again, you mm-hmm. know, we talk about it all the time. You know, the discounts, the devaluing, it's a killer. So cool. Jason, I'm going to throw up a link on here. I'm on this page right now on how to become a Driven affiliate. There's some videos in here. So there's ton of content. Listeners, just if you want to just kind of hang out on the fringe and watch some of this content and then reach out to Jason, you can by all means do so. Jason, hey man, thanks so much for your time today. We covered a lot of ground. I really appreciate your story, your honesty. I appreciate kind of the way that you're doing things and rethinking the way that we're bringing supplements into our affiliates. So
thanks, Matt. I appreciate that, man. We went down a couple roads I wasn't expecting to, but those I appreciate your questions. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, listeners, head over to you can go to drivennutrition.net. Click on that. There's the affiliate area tab where you can check things out, watch a bunch of videos, schedule a call with Jason if you're interested in just learning more. And so, yeah, Jason Rule from Driven Nutrition, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in and for your continued support of 321 Go Podcast. If you would like to support the people that support this show, head over to the show notes now and click on the appropriate links. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while and you know that it's time that you need to take some action on changing your business, I would strongly encourage you to check out our hub platform, 321goproject.com/hub. It is only $69 a month, and inside the hub is everything you need to run a business, from business templates to marketing courses and everything in between. All that information is there in the hub. If you are a member of the hub and you want a little bit more additional accountability, check out one of our M3 groups. That's a Momentum Mastermind group. It is you and four or five other like-minded gym owners just ready to crush it and keep each other accountable. 321goproject.com/M3. Additionally, if you have not yet, please subscribe to this show and leave us a review on iTunes. That is how people find us, and that's how we continue to grow and bring on more guests. Again, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.